Good morning. Happy New Year. It's good to be with you all this morning. My name is Jonathan Clark. If you haven't seen me before, it's because everyone else was out of town. They were calling in the pinch hitters. So it's good to be with you this morning. I work as a pastor in town for University of Colorado, Colorado Springs, and Pikes Peak Community College, or Pikes Peak State University, depending on what area you're from. And I'm here with my wife, Caroline, and my daughter, Phoebe. I work for an organization called Reformed University Fellowship. It's the Presbyterian ministry to college students in our denomination, and we are renewed this year in Colorado Springs while at UCCS. So it's good to be with you this morning. If you're here, curious to hear more about RUF, I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee and tell you more about that. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We're just going to look at one verse this morning, hopefully to encourage us and remind us of good news as our new year is only a few hours old, briefly this morning. So while you turn, I hope to start us off here a little bit by, I spend a lot of time on social media, spending time with college students. And one of the apps I spend a lot of time on is Instagram, because that's where most college students spend most of their time, for better or for worse. And last week, one of the accounts I follow is an aggregator that takes different news sources from different news companies and agencies across the country and across the political spectrum, and sort of aggregates them, combines them, looks at what stories and what how different stories are being reported across our country, across the spectrum, right, left, center, and everything in between. And last week, they posted an interesting story about how, regardless of across the country, regardless of the news source or how it's being reported, everybody was writing one kind of op-ed columns. All the op-eds that were coming out, they had one common theme, and it was this: positivity in trying times. Right, left, center, online, print, everybody was reading and writing op-eds that had one theme: positivity in trying times, optimism in the face of challenge. And it was interesting, and I was reflecting on this pastorally, and I was like, why is that? What is the one thing that's uniting us as 2022 comes to an end, as we're doing the holidays, as we're looking forward to another year? The thing that unites us, it seems, across the op-eds, across the news, is we got to figure out a way to be positive going into this new year. We know this, right? That doesn't matter where you come from, left, right, center, white, brown, black, East Coast, mountain states, 2023 could have challenges ahead on a big scale, and then in your own family, in your own home. You look at things in your life, in your story, in your marriage or your singleness, in your job, and you say, this could be a tough one, right? And everybody is aware of this. Everybody's picking up on this, right? That there are challenges ahead of us, and everybody is looking for some sort of hope, some sort of optimism. I know I am, with 2023 only 10 hours old, saying, what's going to get us through this, right? And what's amazing about the Christian faith, what's amazing about the Bible, is that the Bible is very comfortable with that situation that you feel yourself in, with where we feel ourselves as a church, as a society. It's very comfortable with this, what can I look forward to, right? And the good news is, the crucial difference is, the Bible is not just another op-ed to throw onto your reading list. The Bible is God's word telling us what God is doing, has done, and will do in your world, in your church, in your society, in your family. The capital T truth that overshadows all the other opinions, right? And it offers us the best news for 2023 that we can hope for. And so I hope today that God's word encourages you as we start off our 2023, right? So this very small verse that we read today is God's word spoken to us to encourage us. And it is this, Romans chapter 16, verse 20. If you have a Bible, read along with me. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, as we come into your presence today to start our new year, we pray that your spirit would be with us now, that you would equip and encourage us to be faithful servants, that you would speak through the busyness and the fatigue and that you would make us faithful servants, even now, for Jesus' sake and your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our text today has a very simple idea, right? As we anticipate our new year, 2023, God reminds and encourages us that he will win over his and our enemies. God encourages us that he will win over his and our enemies. So my wife and I are currently reading The Lord of the Rings to each other out loud. And I try to read The Lord of the Rings fairly consistently. And one of the things that I'm struck by this time as I'm reading the Tolkien's great stories again is how well, how expertly the author J.R.R. Tolkien depicts evil. He creates a villain, Sauron, if you're comfortable or familiar with the stories, who is absolutely terrifying. He's horrible, right? And so the words that Tolkien uses, often he uses the word restless malice. A restless malice, an ever-striving, ever-searching eye, right? Wreathed in flame. That he is a harmful and foul enemy who seeks to destroy everything that's green and blue and turn it into gray and black, right? He is powerful, he is active, he is aggressive. He has terrible servants who can do terrible things, warping and twisting and perverting, right? He's never sleeping, right? And Tolkien, we know if you've read anything about Tolkien, was a Christian. And he is inspired as he writes his story by the biblical story, by the narrative of what is actually happening in our world, right? That this idea that Sauron, he didn't just cook up this character out of nowhere. No, he had somebody else that he was reflecting on, right? And it's Satan, the great enemy of God and his people and God's plan, right? That is. And it is not just some dismissive fundamentalist kook to say that Satan is real in our world. Satan is real in our society, in our church, even in our homes, that he wants to, as Tolkien says, he's restlessly malicious against you and against the church, right? That he is the one who tempted Adam and Eve into sin and brought us, as our confession says, into the estate of sin and misery that we find ourselves in. The estate where we say, I need hope in the midst of this. And so as we go into 2023, remember that all of the sadness and the evil and the distress that we face as Christians are not just some nameless, it doesn't feel right. That there is a malevolent, wicked force out here. Out there that seeks to hamper and destroy. He is the enemy. He is the bad behind the bad news on your screens. He is the adversary who hates you, who hates your family. And it's not your boss, and it's not the other political side, it's not the pastor, it's Satan, who is the adversary that brings the sin and the misery and the oppression and ultimately death. And it is this enemy that Paul tells us as he finishes his book that the God of peace will what? Crush. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. There's a poetic irony in that, right? A God of peace will crush, right? It reminds me of what we just celebrated a week and a half ago in from Isaiah 9, Christmas, where it says, the Prince of Peace will soon burn every blood-soaked soldier's boot. It's an interesting way of thinking about it. You would think like the victorious warrior king will soon crush, but no, Paul says the God of peace will soon crush the thing that robs and strips peace. The person who exacerbates, right? And that word crush here is a unique word and it means to shatter beyond repair. It's almost an onomatopoeia for when pots are broken, right? How many of you have perhaps been unloading the dishwasher and you drop a plate and you go, oh no, and then it hits the ground and you go, no amount of super glue is going to fix that plate. It's gone. That's the word that he's having in mind here. The other time, one of the times it's used is when the soldiers come up to the thieves on the cross next to Christ and break their legs. It says they crushed their legs. There is no coming back from this breaking, right? No repair, right? It says the God of peace will bring peace into the world, into your world, into my world, by crushing the source of violence, chaos, and despair. This reminds me of another great narrative, another great story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? When Aslan has paid for Edmund's treason with his own life, he's been resurrected and he builds a good army for himself, and then he goes on the aggression and he attacks the White Witch, the Wicked Witch, and her army. And as he attacks her, listen to what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "With a roar that shook all of Narnia, from the western lamppost to the shores of the eastern sea, the great beast that is Aslan flung himself upon the White Witch. And Lucy saw her face lifted toward him for 1 second in an expression of terror and amazement, like a lion pouncing on his enemy and utterly destroying her. The God of peace will soon utterly destroy." Or listen to Revelation 12:10. As John anticipates this very moment that Paul is writing about, he says, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser, that is Satan, of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." That's the future. That's not just some op-ed thrown into the blogosphere. That is what the God of peace is bringing into our world. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. But notice what Paul says. He says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Under your feet. The tools, the means that God will use to destroy his enemy is the everyday Christian, is the church. Doing daily things like caring for children or being faithful in marriage or faithful in singleness, obeying parents, honoring the sick, the poor, and the elderly, praying for each other, giving to the institutions that are building God's kingdom, showing up on church when energy levels and perhaps the calendar says go next week. It's your dogged faith, O church, that God will use to crush your and his enemies, right? The ordinary Christian, the ordinary habits are the tools that God will use to crush Satan. So that means that you, men, women, married, single, rich, poor, children, old, are God's chosen means to crush Satan, right? And notice it doesn't say that we will crush Satan, and it doesn't say that God will do it and you just get to sit along. No, he says God will do it through you. Through your work, through your prayer, through your faith, through your trusting, through your love for one another and neighbor, God will crush and bring victory, right? Well, how will God do this? Well, that's what the next phrase or sentence in our verse says. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, right? This is one of the relatively rarer times in the Bible that Jesus' full title is used. That the author just uses every single name that we have for Jesus. Sometimes it's Lord Christ or Lord Jesus or Jesus Christ, but here he uses all three, right? And it tells us that this is how God will accomplish this, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means sovereign. It means king. It was a political term back then. Jesus is Lord meant that he is the king. He is greater than even Caesar, the great political dominant of the day. The Lord will accomplish this. Jesus means literally God saves. God will save. God has saved. We know this, that Jesus is God who saves us from our sin, delivers us from the curse of Satan, saves us from a world of pollution and pain. And then Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed. It means the special one, the one set apart for a special job, right? Christened to shatter his enemies like pottery. If you read Psalm 2, which I encourage you to go look at Psalm 2 today, reflecting on Romans 16, that's what he says. He says, "My anointed one will crush his enemies under his feet with a rod of iron," right? And you have to remember that this has always been God's plan from the very get-go, that as Paul wraps up his great letter to the Roman church, I can't help but think that he's reflecting here on Genesis chapter 3, when Satan first got to work and God said, not forever. Remember, Satan comes into the garden and brings with him the lies and the temptation that Adam and Eve fully buy into, and they bring the sin and the pain and the death into our world. And do you remember what God says to Satan? He curses Satan. He says, hey, someone's coming. The seed of the woman is coming, and you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. Jesus is our hope. He's the one who has crushed and will crush Satan in his death and his resurrection, right? The death that he died for us and he rose for us. So if you put yourselves into the shoes of this tiny little Roman church that's feeling probably very similar to how some of us feel on a 2023 January 1st, how are we going to pull this off? It feels like this is going to be a challenging year. It feels like the pressure of the Roman government and the larger church are just too much, right? They wonder if their movement has what it takes to compete in the world of ideas, in the strong-arm politics of the day. And Paul says, at the end of his letter, there's good news. There's hope. There is reason for optimism. And it's not just another op-ed thrown in. It is the God of peace who will soon crush your and his enemies, right? He says, God will win. This God of peace will bring peace through his son. And that is a sweet comfort and an encouragement to me today. So friends, as you look ahead, 2023, all of 10 hours old, not even, trust anew, be reminded anew, be encouraged anew that God has not left us yet. He proves that through Christ, and he himself will bring the peace that we long for. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we need the encouragement that your word provides. And so we pray that you would work through your spirit to equip and encourage us, to remind us as we get ready for a new year, through a new month, that you are more faithful to us than we ever can be to you, that you are more powerful than we can ever prove, and that you would indeed be our shield and our rock, and that you would crush the enemy under our feet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.